Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, family and friends. Welcome to Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministries Sunday morning service, where Dr. Apostle Alfreda Bradford is our overseer, and we welcome you today into the house of the Lord. I am Pastor Erica Bradford, her middle daughter, bringing you greetings from the Ark Ministries. And I come in proxy or as a guest speaker, whatever you want to call it. I come this morning. My mother is taking some rest. Keep her in your prayers. And I come with a word from God. Amen. If you know my mom, you know that she is a powerhouse. She will preach and teach the word and give every last bit of energy, sweat, blood, and tears that she has. And she is now resting. Amen. Hearing us on the back lines. Amen. She's a guest in her own church this morning. And that's a blessing that she's able to sit back and allow her faithful members and associates to come forth and to bring forth the word of God. So thank you so much for joining in. Please keep her in prayers. And I do have a word. I have a word. I have a word. I have a word. Those of you that know me know that I am a replica of my mother, just 30-something years younger, but I'm a replica of my mother. We are very kindred in spirit and how we move, how we shake, how we strategize. So let's continue forward with the word. Before I get started, please, if you have not already, follow this ministry, Life Word Jesus. Follow us on social media under Facebook. It's under Dr. Alfreda Bradford. Instagram, I believe, is Dr. Alfreda Bradford, also Life Word Jesus. Go to our website, www.lifewordjesus.org, and subscribe to the newsletter so you can stay up to date with what the ministry is doing. So that's www.lifewordjesus.org. You can also donate on there as well. Amen. There is a song in my spirit to usher us into. There is a message in my spirit that will usher us right into the word. And you may or may not know it. It's real easy. Sing it with me. It's called, I Got the J-O-Y Joy, Joy in the Holy Ghost. I Got the J-O-Y Joy, Joy in the Holy Ghost. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost. I got the J-O-Y joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost. I got the J-O-Y joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost. I got the P-E-A-C-E. Peace in the Holy Ghost. I got the P-E-A-C-E. Peace in the Holy Ghost. Don't let the devil steal your peace. Don't let the devil steal your peace. Don't let the devil steal your peace. Peace in the Holy Ghost. I got the L-O-V-E, love, love of the Holy Ghost. I got the L-O-V-E, love, love of the Holy Ghost. Don't let the devil steal your love. Don't let the devil steal your love. Don't let the devil steal your love, love of the Holy Ghost. I got the J-O-Y joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost. I got the J-O-Y joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Don't let the devil steal your peace. Don't let the devil steal your peace. Don't let the devil steal your peace. Peace in the Holy Ghost. Don't let the devil steal your love. Don't let the devil steal your love. Don't let the devil steal your love. Love in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Peace in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen, amen, amen. I hope that put a pep in your spirit. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Today's message is get your joy back. Get your joy back. Now, y'all know I'm new generation preacher, so I do a little bit of teaching. I do a little bit of preaching. I do a lot of exhorting, and I just let God use me how he wants to use me. So you're in for a treat today. Get your joy back. Wherever you are right now, say that to yourself. Say, get my joy back. Get my joy back. I'm getting my joy back. Hallelujah. Before I get into scripture, I want to break down what joy is, because we say it a lot, but I don't want to assume you know the definition of joy. We know how it feels, but you may not know the definition. So I'm going to start with the definition of what happiness is, and then I'm going to go into what joy is. Amen? Because we get the two confused. Being happy, the state of happiness, it is an emotion. Being happy is an emotion. Happy, sad, angry. Happy, being happy is an emotion which can be characterized by feelings of joy or satisfaction or contentment and fulfillment. So when I think of being happy, I think that is an outward experience. When I'm angry, that's an outward thing. When I'm happy, that's an outward thing. But what happens when you're doing everything you can to feel that outwardness? So that's when we talk about joy. The definition of joy is it is the source of happiness. It is the source of pleasure or delight. It is an inward joy. You know, another definition I found that I thought was so on point, to be joyful is to remain soft and tender. If you are a Christian and if you have a very hard disposition about yourself, very hard, where like people wouldn't know if you saved or not, like you just like don't laugh, you don't smile, you just are very hard, you take everything serious, you kind of have a negative or morbid personality, I would ask, do you have joy? Because to remain joyful is to remain soft, is to remain tender. To have joy is to have an inward happiness that exudes on the outside. It is your source of being happy. And before I continue, let's be clear. God wants us both to be happy and filled with joy, but he wants us to remain in joy because that is the source of happiness. So if you remain in his joy, if you remain in joy, you will more than likely be happy. But what happens is when that outward experience, when something comes, when the devil comes, when life happens, when it comes to knock us off course and do whatever it is that life does, our happiness can sometimes be wavered, where we're feeling sad or where we're feeling angry. We don't really feel so happy today. Something happened yesterday and it pissed us off and we're not feeling so good about it. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it affected your joy, because happiness is an emotion, where joy is the inside. What did I say? I would say that happiness is an outward experience and having joy is an inward experience. So we want to fill our inward man up with everything that we can, joy, love, peace. We want to fill our inward man up so that has nothing to do but to come out of us to affect our outward man. All right, let's move on. So I have some examples because I like to break stuff down. So I'm preaching, I'm teaching. I like to break stuff down. So I have two examples. The first example is someone being happy. The second example is someone being someone's joy. Okay. So the first example, I made this up. God gave this to me. Someone says, "I'm not happy about this situation. You should have told me sooner." I'm going to say it again. The example, there's somebody that is saying, "I'm not happy about this situation. You should have told me sooner." That sentence is letting you know that their emotions has been affected. But it doesn't necessarily mean that their joy has been attacked. This person, you know, they're not happy. But, you know, in about an hour, in about another day, maybe about another week, they'll be cool. They'll shrug it off. It hasn't affected their joy. It just affected them temporarily in the situation. Hey, I'm not happy how this went down. You should have told me sooner. We've been there. We've all been there, right? So that's example number one. Example number two, how someone's joy is affected. Okay, here we go. Made up. I made this up. The Lord gave this to me. Hearing the news of his death sucked all the happiness out of me. For months, I've stayed in bed with the curtains closed. I had no desire to go outside and feel the sun. You see the difference there? I'm going to say it again. Hearing the news of his death sucked all the happiness out of me. For months, I've stayed in bed with the curtains closed. I had no desire to go outside and feel the sun. This example, her emotions got cut so deep that it has affected her joy. The first example, you know, surface level. You should have told me I wasn't happy, but I'll move on. This one has cut deep into her inward man, where it has affected her emotionally, spiritually, physically. One of the signs of depression, I think when we are feeling depressed and when people are feeling suicidal, that's when you know the joy has been sucked out of them. When you are feeling depressed beyond depressed and can stay locked in your house and something has affected you so badly that you don't want to go out, you don't want to communicate, you don't want to be bothered with the outside world at all. That is when your joy has been affected, your inward man, where this is, see, this example is the perfect example of when people don't know the difference between happiness and joy, so they automatically think it's just me trying to be happy, so they go and try to fill that void with alcohol, with partying, with sex, with spending money, with being gluttonous, and they try to feel things with it because it's like, I'm so depressed. I'm so bit backwards. I'm so out of shape. So I'm just going to try to do things to fill up this void, but not knowing that how badly you've been affected is beyond the surface level. It has cut deep into your soul. So alcohol can't fix the soul. Sex can't fill the soul. Spending money can't fill the soul. To be honest, if you that deeply affected and hurt, the more you doing these outward experiences is just going to make that void bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, because those things can't come into the soul and feel it. It can please your flesh. It can please your eyes, ears, your touch. It can please that. But when you go back home and lay in the bed, you realize, wait, I still got a void. oh, man, I just spent $50, $100. I just gambled $100,000. I just went on this vacation, and I'm still feeling this way. I thought it was going to make me happy, and it may have temporarily, but happiness is not your concern. It's the joy. Somebody said, I come to get my joy back. Pastor Erica, that's what that is? I thought I was doing stuff because I just wasn't happy. I didn't know it was my joy. You're welcome. So let me give you some verses. Amen. Let me give you some verses. Let me back some stuff up with the word of God. If I'm preaching good, just say, thank you, Jesus. Okay, the first one is St. John chapter 15, verse 11. St. John 15, verse 11. I'm going to start at verse 9. It says, as the Father has loved me, this is Jesus speaking, as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Let's do that one more time. Jesus said, as my Father has loved me, I have also loved you. So remain in my love. Remain in whose love? Remain in Christ's love. If you keep my commands, whose commands? Christ's commands. You will remain in my love. So how do I remain in Christ's love? I keep his commands. I keep his word. I stay obedient to the truth of his word. What's his word? You know, the Bible, what you read. What's his word? That when he's to you audibly into your spirit, that's his word. His word. We don't got to try to create a new word. We don't got to try to create a new command. We don't got to try to find new ways to seek it. It's right here. It's in your Bible. How you communicate with God is in the Bible. How you communicate with God is building a relationship and speaking to him one-on-one. And you're saying, well, how do I know if what he's saying to me is true? Line it up with the word of God. Line up with what he's saying with the word of God. God will never tell you to do something outside of his written word. So what we do is we hear from God, and sometimes we question, Lord, is this you? Would you have me to do this? Then we line it up with the word of God. God is not contradicting or contrary to his written word. Okay, let's move on. It says, just as I have kept my Father's commands, remain, hold on, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you. Jesus is saying, I am sharing these things so that my joy, he already got it. Christ already got the joy. He already has the joy, that it may be in me, it may be in you, and your joy may be complete. Joy is personal. Has his joy, we have our joy. It's like anything else. I got my happiness, you have your happiness. I have my sad times, you have your sad times. I have my levels of joy, you have your levels of joy. Christ is saying, I already got joy. But what I'm going to do is share these words with you that you may latch on to them and be obedient in what I'm saying so you will remain in my joy. Not this temporary, fleeting happiness, but that you will remain in my joy, Christ's joy. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on. Let's move on. Let's move on. Hebrews 12 and 2. Hebrews 12 and 2. I'm going to start at verse 1. Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let me break it down. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, who is the source and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross. Say nothing in here about him being happy lay before a cross. It don't say nothing in here about, oh, Jesus was so happy to run the race. Jesus was so happy to be with. Oh, Jesus had a smile on his face. Oh, wow. Because, you know, come on, let's be honest. Most of us, depending on your maturity in the faith, we ain't doing nothing that ain't making us happy. We ain't doing it. It don't please me. It doesn't satisfy me. I don't take any delight in this. It's going to be a waste of my time. I'm not doing this because it's not making me happy. Yeah, God, I heard what you said, but what am I getting out of this? This is going to take up all my time. This is going to take up my day. I did not have this scheduled. I did not have this plan to do today. This is sucking the energy out of me. This is not satisfying me. Oh, my. That word, me, can be a poison. Me. What about me? Depending on where you are in your level of faith and your maturity and your progress, be careful that you don't live and die with the word me on your tongue. Because being a Christian is being Christ-like, and being Christ-like means being a servant, and being a servant means you are serving the Lord Most High, and whatever he says to do, you got to do. That's why I said happiness is an outward emotion that can trip us up and has tripped a lot of us up. But now that we have grown and that we are maturing in our faith, we are understanding that this Sunday morning that there is a difference between happiness and joy. Jesus gave his life. He was stretched out on the cross, and he was not happy about it, because he even said, Father, if it be thine will, let this cup pass from me. You know what he's saying, right? Like, God, Lord, come on now. This ain't cool. This is uncomfortable. I don't want to be here. I could call 10,000 angels right now, and we could call this quits. I'm not happy about this. I don't want to be here, Lord. But if it be thine will, pass the cup. The cup wasn't passed. So what did Jesus do? He stayed on that cross until he gave up the ghost. And it says, for the joy that lay before him, the joy that lay before him, meaning it was in front of him, the joy that lay before him. Whoo, Jesus, the joy that lay before him. Okay. So, Father, what you're saying is, in order to get to the joy that is in front of me, I have to endure some persecution behind me. Okay. Okay, so what you're saying is, getting to the joy, I'm not going to always feel happy about it. I'm not always going to be in agreement with it. But in order to get to the joy you promised, I got to overcome some trials and tribulations. Okay, so God, what you're saying is my flesh is going to want to say I'm done. My flesh is going to want to quit. My flesh is going to say, no, not doing that. But because I see the joy that is laid before me, I got to go through some persecution. Okay. I think I understand you now, Father. I think I understand you now. And I think I understand you now. I think, well, where's the verse? Hold on. It's a verse. It's a Bible verse. I thought I wrote it down. Hold on. Let me get here real quick. Give me 1 second. Yes, Holy Spirit. I believe it's in James. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, yes. Okay. So James is telling us, let's go to King James. Oh, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy when I fall into different temptations, okay? Count it all joy. Count it all joy. The New Living Translation says it this way: dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Can't the Bible feel like an oxymoron sometimes? Like, it don't make sense. Like, it's like it's speaking in code. Is it just me? Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Wait a minute. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Okay, I got that. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. I don't even need happiness. My God, listen to what this verse is telling us today. He's saying, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity of great joy. For when your faith is tested, you will endure and have a chance to grow, mature. So when you grow, your endurance is fully developed. You will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Meaning, I don't even need happiness. I don't need what I think I need to make me happy. When I allow the tribulations and the trials and the persecution, when I see the joy in that, and when I allow that to mature and to develop me, it will open up my eyes of understanding to what I thought I needed to even make me happy in the first place. I know I can't see y'all, I can't hear y'all, but by a raise of hands,
Have any of you thought you needed something that was going to make you happy, and then you got it, and it didn't? But in that moment, you just knew you needed that, knew that that was going to satisfy you, knew that that was going to be the end all, and then you got it, and then you're like, I thought. We've all been there. You have to come to a self-awareness within yourself and ask yourself the hard question. Are you satisfied with only being happy half of the time? Or would you rather go ahead and mature and grow so you can come to a complete joy? Are you okay with this back and forth emotional roller coaster and doing things for the 5 minute happiness, the 10 minute, the 1 hour, the 1 week, the 2 months? Even you may even get it for 1 year, but if you know that that is going to go, and that's going to be a fleeting moment, a fleeting desire, would you rather just go ahead and let God grow you and mature you, and you go through your growing pains so you can come to a complete finished work and get joy? Hebrews 12:2 is what I've gathered from Hebrews 12:2, is that you don't necessarily have to feel happy to do what God has called you to do, but you will experience joy unspeakable. And that is the only reason why you keep going. I'm in a season in my life where God has poured so many things inside of me. And there are moments where I feel like I hit a stumbling block and I say, I'm done. I had enough. I did that all that I can do. I think I just want to lay here in bed and stay under these covers. I don't want to get up. I've had enough. I've hit a wall. God, I think I'm good. But once I finish throwing myself that pity party, I eventually get back up and keep going. But I don't keep going because it's my own strength. I keep going because the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's the only reason why we keep going when we say we don't want to go, is because we're experiencing some level of joy. We may not be to a complete joy. We may not be at the finished work, but that's the only reason why we keep going. That's the only reason why Dr. Bradford keeps going, even when her body is tired, even when I'm sure she feels like, we gave it a good 12 years. We can just call it here sometimes. But what is it? It ain't happiness, because you're not going to always feel happy. That's foolish to think that every day you're going to feel happy to do the work of God. That's foolish to think that every day you're going to feel happy to just do these things he's told you to do. That's not why. That's foolish to think like that. We're human beings, and we're going to experience different emotions. But the joy of the Lord is more than just an emotion. It's a heavenly emotion that comes to fill us up on the inside, that will exude on the outside. I'm going to say that one more time. I made that up. The Holy Spirit gave that to me. Joy is a heavenly emotion that comes to fill us up on the inside, that will exude to the outside. That's how... those moments where you don't have the money to pay your bills and you just don't know how it's going to work out, but you genuinely have a smile on your face and are telling yourself that God is going to work it out. This is in God's hands. This is in God's hands. I'm not losing sleep over this. People, you telling people your situation, just venting to people, and they smiling, and they're like, yo, how can you be smiling? And I know you're going through this. Listen, honestly, I don't even know how I'm smiling. All I know is that God got it.
Now, may I break down and cry sometimes because the emotion can get too big? Of course. Will there be a moment or two where I'm doubting, like, ooh, Lord, help thou my unbelief? Of course. But when you allow yourself to let God take the wheel, glory be to God, when you allow yourself to say, God, if you don't do it, it won't be done. God, I don't know what this storm is meant to do for my character. I don't know what this storm is meant to do for my life. But God, if you get me through this, I know I will be better on the other side. That is the joy. That is the joy you need to get back today. That is the joy. That is the joy that you will change your response when you talk to people. Girl, how you doing? Girl, I don't know. If it wasn't for a good day, I wouldn't have no day. Y'all know that saying y'all old timers be saying. If it wasn't for a good day, wouldn't be no day or something like that. Stop. Don't even respond like that no more. Change your response. Get in your word, seek God's face, and watch him change how you speak and change how you react. And I know we can get into our circles, into our cliques, and we just talking to be talking. No, I don't care if you're around your best friend that you've had for 50 years. Change your speech. Next time you go to the barbershop or hang with the fellas, change your speech, man of God. Change your speech, woman of God. You are a child of the Most High. People only feed off the negative energy that you bring. Certain people only like it when you're negative. You know, there is a such thing as a group of people that can only stand when people are down and in the slumps and don't got anything good to say. Certain people can't stand people that's always filled with joy, always got something good to say. You know, I'm going through something right now, but I choose not to talk about that. I choose to be hopeful and know that God is going to see me through this. When you talk like that long enough, certain people can't stand that because it irritates their joy. It irritates them. It irritates their inward man. Glory be to God. And guess what? If you don't got nothing good to say at all, keep your mouth shut, because there is power in the words that you speak. There is life and death in the words that you speak. You may be thinking it, so help God to change your mindset, but don't you dare give in to the speech of what you're thinking. Glory be to God. Get your joy back, my brother. Get your joy back, my sister. In the name of Jesus, if it was meant to kill you, you would already be dead. We would have already went to your funeral. We would have already cried the tears. We would have already sung the songs. The eulogy would have been made, but we did not do that. You are still here. Glory be to God. Get yourself up. Get yourself up. Shake yourself off and get back to what you know that works. Power works. Power of the Holy Ghost works. Get back to that. Don't subscribe to the enemy's tactics. Don't subscribe to your fleshly emotions. Get back to your joy. Get back to it. Get back to it. Get back to it. Get back to it, get back to it, get back to it, get back to it. I said get back to it, get back to it, get back to it. Get back to it, get back to it, get back to it. In my closing, let's go to Nehemiah chapter 8. Get back to it. Oh, go. You know the saying, fake it till you make it. I agree with that statement, but then I don't agree with it. I don't agree with it in one aspect, because if you need help and if you really need professional help, professional counseling, I think you need to go. The Lord will lead and guide you to the correct person to go to help you with your issues. So if you faking it till you make it, and you know you got mentally disabled, you emotionally disabled, you got all these suicidal thoughts thinking about doing harmful things, if God is leading you to go see somebody, you should go. That's not the moment where you should be faking it till you make it.
No, sir. No, ma'am. Go and seek some heavenly and seek some Christian counseling. If your arm was hanging off your body right now, you will go to the closest ER you could. Some of y'all brains are being detached. You're not right in your head. You're not right in your mind. You could keep calling on Jesus, but God is saying you need to go and seek some help. I put help in the land. Go and get it. That is not the time where you should be faking it till you make it. There are the suicidal rate has gone up to the roof because a lot of people have been faking it till they try to make it. And unfortunately, it did not go to the way that it should have went. But in this instance, you need to keep speaking the joy back in your life. So if you are low, if you are depleted in your inward man, if you need the joy of the Lord, I'm going to say keep faking it till you make it, which means keep speaking the words of God over your life. You may not feel it right now, but if you keep speaking the word over your life, it won't be fake but so much longer. It will turn into something real. Keep speaking it even though you don't feel it, and watch it. They say the habit can turn in 30 days or less. If you do something habitually within 30 days, it can turn into a new habit. I speak and declare over your life, if you continue to speak the word of God over your life, pick a new Bible verse for the next 30 days. I decree and declare that a change will be made before the 30-day hit. Some of you need a financial healing. Some of you need a physical healing. Some of you need a spiritual healing. Some of you need all three plus some. Speak a different word from the Bible over your life. Set a timer. Set a schedule for 30 days. I don't know who this is for. This is prophetic for somebody on the line this morning. You need to be writing down these instructions right here and right now. Set on your schedule a new word over your life from, not your word, God's word. Get in your Bible, pick a verse, and set it for the next 30 days, and watch God work before day 30 hits.
Nehemiah. It will work if you work it. Get up out that religious box. Get out the religious box and get into a relationship. Get, God, I don't know who this is for. Get out of your religious box. I know what the church might have said. I know what the clique might have said. I know what your denomination might have said. Get out of your religious box and do what God said to do. Let me go on. We closing out. What is it? It's 12:48. All right, let's close out with Nehemiah. Chapter 8, Mom, if I'm going over too long, shoot me a text. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, Nehemiah. Brief. You're going to have to read this for yourself to understand the whole story. Read Nehemiah chapter 7 and 8 when you get a chance. Just to give you a quick overlaps of what went down. In Nehemiah chapter 7, the walls have been built. You know the story of Nehemiah going to build the walls. Glory be to God. Nehemiah went to build the walls previously. In chapter 7, the walls are now up. The people are starting to come back and fill in the land. Okay? Nehemiah appoints trustworthy advisors to watch over the wall. He gives them instruction on how to guard the wall because he understands that the enemy is still a threat. So, hey, we still need people to guard the wall. Okay, so that's in Nehemiah chapter 7. And then in Nehemiah chapter 8, he talks to them pertaining to the law of Moses. He says in chapter 8 of Nehemiah, verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses. I'm going to actually read it from the New Living Translation because it breaks it down a little bit easier for me and for you, I believe. So let's go to Nehemiah chapter 8. So it says, all the people assembled with a unified purpose at the square. Okay. They asked Ezra to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given for Israel to obey. Okay. Ezra the priest brought the book of the law before the assembly, which included the men, women, and all the children old enough to understand. All the people listened closely to the book of the law. So he was reading, Ezra is reading the book. They're in their new land. The walls are built. They're in their new land. Ezra, who is the priest, he has the book of Moses, the law of Moses. He is reading it aloud. And now everyone who couldn't understand it is now listening closely and attentively to what he's saying. Okay, so that's where we are. Verse 4, Ezra stood up on the platform, bringing forth the word of Moses, are shouting amen. They're bowing down and worshiping the Lord with their faces to the ground. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, the Levites who were interpreting for the people, they said to the people, don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God. For the people had been weeping as they were listening to the words of the law. Why were they weeping? Because they have recognized their sinful behavior. They recognized the wrong they have done. So the word of the Lord came to convict them, so they were weeping. And, you know, glory be to God. Thank God for conviction because, you know, without conviction, how will we ever know to get back on the right track, right? So they were weeping as Ezra was reading, but Ezra, Nehemiah, and the Levites were telling them, today is a sacred day. Don't mourn. Don't weep. Nehemiah said, go celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks. Share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be sad emotion. Don't be dejected emotion, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay. So the Levites too, they quieted the people, telling them, hush, don't weep, for this is a sacred day. So the people went to eat and drink at a festive meal, to share gifts of food, and to celebrate with great joy because they have heard God's word and understood them. They have heard God's word and understood them. As I come to a close, so much to unpack and unravel in these two chapters. Ezra gave the word. The people became convicted of their sins and they began to weep. That is the proper job of a preacher, of a priest, of a scribe, to give the word that God has given you to speak over the people. And if the word comes to convict, then amen. Because joy comes out of conviction. Joy, not only does joy come out of tribulation, joy can also come out of conviction. The people were convicted of their sins, convicted of their wrongdoings. They became sorrowful. They became sorrowful. But what Nehemiah and Ezra and the Levites were
also trying to convey is, hey, yes, the Lord is convicting you right now, but don't stay there. And you're sorrowful and you're repentful, that's great, but don't stay weeping. Don't stay in that emotion. Don't stay crying. Don't stay like, oh, God, if I just didn't do what I did 20 years ago. Oh, God, Lord, if I just did what you told me to do 5 months ago. Oh, God. It's now November, what, the 20th, 2022. Hey, I'm coming to you as an Ezra right now in female form. Get up. Get up. If you repented of that and if you were sorry about that and God convicted you of that, that's great that you have a relationship with God, that you felt the conviction in the first place. That's a blessing, that your heart has not been made cold. Okay, so you've been convicted. You've been sorry about it. Okay, get up from that. Go now. What'd he say? Go now. Don't be sad. Don't be sad no more. Come on, get up. Don't be sad. You spent enough tears and sorrow here, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy. So when sin does come, when tribulations do come, when our emotions are all thrown off, when we are sad, when we are angry, when we are depressed, when we ain't feeling it, you can only stay there but for so long. You got to get up, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. We are not expecting human outward appearance to be our joy. Say that with me. We should not expect humanly outward experiences to be our joy. It's two different things. Do not expect humanly outward experiences to be your joy. These people were sad. They were sorrowful. They recognized they have done wrong in the eyes of God. But Nehemiah was reminding them, be your holding place, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Wipe your tears. But it's now time to feast off the joy of the Lord, because that's the only thing that can give you strength. Happiness cannot give you strength. Because what did I say in the beginning? The joy is the source to happiness. The joy. Don't feast off the happiness. Oh, it's great to be happy. But feast off the joy, because when you have joy, you recognize that I am so content in my inward man. When you are filled with joy, it's what I said before, it is a heavenly emotion filling us on the inside, exuding to the outside. Joy is incubated in persecution, James 1 and 2. Joy is dependent upon obedience. Joy is not about a sacrifice. Joy is not even about offering up service. Joy is dependent upon your obedience to God. Many people are not being obedient, so they're not experiencing the joy. That's why they're relying on happiness. Saints of God, it's time for us. I'm going to say us because this is me too. It's time for us to wake up. So the next time you are feeling down, the next time you are feeling out of sorts, the next time you're like, you know what, I don't got the energy for this today. You know what? I think it's healthy to allow yourself to experience that emotion for a moment. Don't just throw it away. Experience that for a moment. If you're sad, it's okay to be sad. Experience it, but experience it only for a moment, though. Only for a moment. If you're angry, the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So don't stay in anger. Try your best to get rid of that as fast as you can. But these are emotions that we can't just it's two sets of people. It's one that when they do feel these emotions, they hurry up and try to throw Jesus on top of it. They don't allow themselves to properly experience emotions that come with life because they feel like I may give into it or I don't know how to balance the weight of it. So you have one set that just, how you doing? Jesus. Fine. Things not fine. So that's one set. And then you got another set of people who don't put Jesus in it at all. It's just like whatever emotion that hits them, they are drowning in that emotion. And you could be drowning in happiness. You could be drowning in sadness. You could be drowning in whatever. But, like, you're just so deep into that emotion. You're so in love. But you haven't had – you didn't put God in there anywhere. So you made a brush decision to go ahead and get married because, oh, my gosh, I'm so in love. I got to get married now. That emotion hit you so fast, but you didn't bring Jesus into the equation. So what I'm saying to you is that I believe a complete Christian is one that knows how to balance both scales of the weights. Does that make sense? You got to know how to balance both scales. Because you're not going to always feel so spiritual, high, and mighty, but you also got to recognize not to always just to allow your emotions to control you. So life is about balance, y'all. People who talk about Jesus 100% of the time scare me a little bit. It do, because I'm saved. I'm a pastor, and I could talk about Jesus, but 100% of the time, you always in heaven. You always up on the cloud, always. That scares me a little. But then the people who claim to be Christian, who don't ever got nothing to say about Jesus ever, you always gossiping, you always got a negative remark, you kind of scare me too. Some of y'all are scary. I ain't calling no names. I'm just saying, some people, because it's about a balance. It's about saying, God, I don't feel good today in my flesh. I really don't. But if you could help me get over this hump, I'll try to do the best I can do. Or you could say, God, I really didn't try at all today. I really, really didn't try at all. Please forgive me. Seriously, forgive me. And help me to do better. Check me. Like, what is it? Like, am I missing something? What's going on? Do you want me to get up? Should I just sit here and meditate and hear what you're trying to tell me about this situation? Is it meant for me to make a move? Like, this is like I'm giving y'all insider secrets on how I speak to God. Like, when I'm really not feeling it, I'm asking him, like, God, I know I'm not feeling it. But what am I supposed to be feeling? Like, sometimes I just don't know how I'm supposed to be feeling. How am I supposed to digest this? What am I supposed to do with this information? What am I supposed to do with this emotion? Because I don't want to move too fast, but I also don't want to move too slow. And if I did mess up, I'm sorry. If you give me another chance, if you allow me another chance, can you show me how to do it right? Thank you for being patient with me, because just when I thought I knew, I recognized I really didn't know. Balance, y'all. Balance. Sometimes you got to get up off that cloud, and then sometimes you got to get on it. You got to learn how to balance. You got to learn how to allow yourself to go through your emotions, but don't let your emotions control you. If you sad, be sad. If you mad, be mad. But don't let that govern your life. Get your joy back. And let's close with this declaration, Psalms 30 and 5. It says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping may, it may, or it may not. Weeping may endure for a night, but if it does come, joy is coming in the morning. And I decree and declare over every listener today that your joy won't be when the sunrise hits at whatever time it hits in the morning, that it won't be about a moment in the physical. It's going to be about a moment inside of you, that your joy is coming in the morning. And I feel like right now, during this hour, some of you have hit your morning mark. Somebody has just entered into their morning. Your weeping days is over. Your negative thinking and speaking days is over. The moments of you being so hard and closed off is over. You will open up yourself to experience the joy of the Lord, the love of God, so that he can go and fill you, and that can be the source of your happiness, so that you can find real love in the earth. You can experience the real fruit in the land. Somebody has just walked into their morning. I don't know who you are, but welcome. Good morning. Good morning. I don't know who you are. I don't know who this word was for. I don't know who just tapped in, but good morning. It's 1:07 Eastern Standard Time, Sunday, November 20th, 2022, but somebody just entered into their morning. Good morning. Good morning to you. Good morning to you, ma'am. And good morning to you, sir. It is a new day for you right here, right now. You just walked into a new season of your life because you came on the Sunday church service with Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministries, and you've allowed yourself to allow the emotions of this word to work its way through you so that you can begin to experience the true fruitfulness and fullness of in the joy of the Lord. I think that's it, Lord. Lord, is that it? I think that's it, God. Yeah. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for creating us to be complex individuals, where we can experience these different emotions and we can experience love and laughter and happiness and sadness and anger, sometimes depression, God. But God, what we ultimately want, is an inward peace, is an inward joy, so that when life comes and the storms rage, that we will have an anchor, an inward anchor, that we won't allow our emotions to control us, but we will also recognize that they are there. So, God, I say thank you for using me to bring forth the words. Thank you for your people that have not just heard but listened, and that they are being set free, religiously set free, emotionally set free, spiritually set free, financially set free, because they realize that without joy, you are in bondage. Without the joy of the Lord, you are in bondage. No matter how happy you think you are, without the joy of the Lord, you are in bondage. So we say thank you for breaking those chains today. I know that this word, some people are going to be thinking about this word for the next week, the next 30 days. Some people have written down the assignment over their lives, the prophetic word, which you told them for the next 30 days. Because this sometimes joy is an action as well. It's an action word. You gotta work. You gotta move. You gotta do. And so the homework assignment, Father, what you told me to tell your people, in order to allow this word to be made manifest into their lives for the good, for the permanent change in their life, that they, for the next 30 days, to write down a verse over their life, and that you are going to break every chain off them completely before day 30 hits. Somebody has written that assignment down. Someone is going to follow through with that. And someone has experienced right here, day one, the release. Imagine what you will do on day 30. So God, oh God, I say thank you. Thank you for being a miracle worker. Thank you, Lord. So Father, we say thank you for today's service. You're awesome in all your ways. God, with so much happening around us, in our land, in our community, in our neighborhoods, in the globe, in our politics, God, is so much happening around us that is trying to steal our peace. But God, we guard ourselves up with the word in the name of Jesus. We guard ourselves up with the fullness of God, with the peace of God in the name of Jesus. God, we are right here in boot camp. We're in Sunday morning boot camp so that when we go back out into the world and go to our jobs starting tomorrow, God, we are going to be equipped with the word. We're going to be equipped. We're going to have our helmet on, our breastplate on, our belt on, our shoes on. We're going to be girded. We're going to be ready in the name of Jesus, because we decree and we declare, God, that we will move forward, and the devil will not, cannot, shall not have us nor our families in the name of Jesus. Hold on to that. They sick you. I speak peace. I speak joy back into the lives of your people. Those experiencing depression, those experiencing sadness beyond control, Father God, renew them, renew them, renew them, renew them right now in the name of Jesus. All these things we ask in your name, and we decree and we declare that it is done by the power of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, saints, friends, family, for tuning in to Sunday Morning with Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministries. Dr. Apostle Alfreda Bradford is the overseer. If today's word has blessed you, or if you would just like to contribute financially to the ministry, please make your offering at Cash App, which is Life Word Jesus. Cash App, $ Life Word Jesus. You can also visit as well. We thank you, everyone who has contributed thus far into the ministry. And we say thank you for your offering for today. Once again, this is Pastor Erica Bradford from the Ark Ministries signing out. Get your joy back. It is back, and keep it. All right? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jesus. I know that he is able.
I know that.